Shai, thanks so much for joining us today. Both Richard and I talked about this at the start of the show. As surprised as I am that Toronto, and again, I'm going back 2 months ago and maybe even longer than that, when the numbers in Ontario and Toronto really looked bad, and it was pretty clear that the government here didn't necessarily have a handle on a lot of things that needed to get done. I don't know what surprises me more, the fact that Toronto could be viewed as a hub city by the NHL, or the fact that the Toronto Blue Jays will, at least at the beginning, likely hold spring training here. And then I guess we've got about a month to figure out whether or not there will be actual games here. Those two things, quite frankly, surprise me. And I think they surprise a lot of people. And that may be why there's a little bit of discomfort, I think, out there about the possibilities.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting. I listened to the news conference with Dr. Theresa Tam, the chief public health officer in the country today, and she went through a bunch of the modeling that the Public Health Agency of Canada has been using, and it really underlined just how fragile all this is. And, you know, if you need a reminder of just how fragile it is, you know, just look what happened. Florida, Arizona, Texas, they were all doing fine about 3 months ago, and, you know, they thought, oh, all good, we're opening up, no problems here. And obviously it's becoming, they're heading directly into tragedy in those locales. So, you know, there's something that we have to keep in mind here. But absolutely, like, this would not have been a discussion point at all a few months ago. And yet here we are, seemingly on the verge of it happening.
Sure, I want to ask you about the 58 players that we now see on the player pool for camp. You want to just give us some perspective on how, I mean, obviously some of the names are obvious, but how did the Jays go about deciding on maybe some of the less obvious names?
Well, there were two competing elements, not necessarily competing elements, but two driving considerations, right? One was ensuring that you have enough depth at the ready should you need it in case you have injuries or a coronavirus outbreak, something along those lines. So you had to make sure that that roster is stocked with a sufficient number of players who could come in and, you know, eat some innings for you, you know, play some games out in the field, whatever the case is. And then on the other side of it is they wanted to try to find ways to ensure that some of their top young prospects who wouldn't likely, in all likelihood, time with the club this year, could still get some meaningful developmental experience. And so that's why you see the likes of Alec Manoa and Jordan Groshans and Simeon Woods Richardson and Alejandro Kirk, guys who were further down the depth chart in the lower levels of the minor leagues. But, you know, this is sort of it for them. You know, unless that prospect league that they've been talking about getting going in the fall ends up happening, you know, this is probably the best that any of those guys are going to do in terms of getting on the field in 2020. So, you know, they had to make sure that they didn't leave themselves exposed in case they have a run of injuries and, you know, suddenly would have trouble fielding a reasonable club at the big league level. While at the same time, they wanted to make sure that they were getting some meaningful reps for some of their most important young players.
So I've already seen the New York Mets make an addition today where they added Melky Cabrera. There are two spots here. Now, I understand one of them, I presume, the Jays would want to hold that for Austin Martin so they can, if they do sign him, they can find something for him to do. But is there any indication in your mind that they are out, that there is a free agent out there right now who may interest them, or, you know, that there is perhaps, and I'm just going to throw this out there right now because, you know, the trade deadline is going to come really early, that the Blue Jays may want to keep that one spot open in case they can piece together a trade, you know, once spring training 2.0, or I guess it's now being called summer camp, right? Once summer camp is over.
Right. I think essentially right now it's just a flex spot, right? It gives you all kinds of opportunity depending on what may arise. And if you don't have to fill it, then, you know, you don't necessarily jump in ahead of time and just give yourself the option. So it's possible that there is something a little bit more specific in mind. You know, a couple names that stuck out to me that weren't on the list were Yency Diaz, who was moved on the 60-day injured list the middle of March when they needed to create a roster spot for Joe Panik. you know, he was he pitched in the big leagues last year. That's a guy who you'd think would factor in if there's any sort of health there. So I'm not sure if that's a consideration. And then, you know, Mark Zepchinski wasn't on that initial list either. He was a non-roster invite to camp, and he'd, by all accounts, been performing relatively well and seemed to be gaining some momentum there. So I'm not certain what happened on that front. So, you know, perhaps there is a plan for that spot, but it does, either way, it does give them a little bit of flexibility if some sort of opportunity does come up.
Shai, independent of Nate Pearson, do you see any scenario where an Alek Manoah or Simeon Woods Richardson, Jordan Groshans, Austin Martin, like, so do you, is there any scenario where any of those type of players could play themselves into being part of this 60-game sprint for the playoffs?
I think for them, I'd have a very hard time seeing that, barring some sort of, you know, surprise of epic proportions or some sort of, you know, roster calamity that would, you know, necessitate that need. You know, Groshans, those guys haven't been above low A yet. And, I mean, we've seen clubs rush players up in the past, but, you know, this isn't even a proper developmental season for them. So it's not like, you know, they went to high A, they aced that, they went to double A, aced that, and, you know, they're deep into the season and they've performed so well that you're like, okay, you know, these guys have earned it the way it's happened in the past. You know, I'd have a hard time seeing this Blue Jays front office, given understanding how meticulous they are in terms of player development, just sort of rushing guys through when, you know, essentially they're just going to be warming up in Buffalo for the most part, trying to work on some things without any meaningful competition. So it's an intriguing possibility. I mean, Jordan Groshans is, you know, a player who I think we'll be seeing sooner rather than later, but I don't think that sooner is 2020.
Shai, what's your biggest concern about Major League Baseball's startup when it does come? And I'm not thinking so much about spring training 2.0, but I'm thinking about when the games start being played. What's your biggest concern?
Well, I mean, if we're going to let's just rule COVID-19 out of the conversation.
Yes, I'm sorry. Correct. Yes.
The overriding one, right? But, you know, I think a lot of pitchers are a little bit wary about what's going to happen to them when they have to start logging all these meaningful pitches in anger after a, you know, quickie camp. And you know, this is it's a sprint. It's not a marathon, right? It's like you lose, you know, seven games in a row early on, and that's your season right then and there. So, like, guys are going to have to be good right out of the hop, and it's just, this is going to be an unnatural state of being for a lot of people. And then when you put it together, you know, like, who's typically the players on a team that endure the most, you know, physical attrition over a season, and then you factor in these contingents over and on top of that. And, you know, I would not be surprised if we see a spate of pitching injuries. I certainly hope that doesn't happen. You know, that would be, it would be terrible for the pitchers involved. But, you know, I think there is some wariness out there about what's going to happen to pitchers. And, you know, guys are going to be coming in different states of readiness depending on, you know, what kind of resources they had around them during shutdown. You know, that's and this is a really compressed time frame, and that could potentially open up some vulnerabilities.
Shai, following up on that, you know, you may have written this. I certainly have read it from a number of national baseball writers. Because of the, I think, real concern with pitchers getting overextended without having the proper kind of spring training that they normally would have. So, you know, we end up seeing a six-man rotation, or perhaps even more likely, we see starters doubling up in games. I would have to think when the Blue Jays are sort of thinking about roster composition, they have to be thinking about sort of adding or having enough guys who are quote-unquote starters, correct, where you can extend the rotation given the, you know, this sort of crazy circumstance of a 60-game abbreviated season.
100%. And I think a six-man rotation is very much on the table for the Blue Jays, something that they've discussed, something that they've, you know, projected out and kind of looked at how it might play out. So, you know, that could certainly be a possibility, and maybe that helps. But, you know, Richard, I mean, we've seen it so much over the years. It's like, as much as you think that you've got the arm solved, like, you really don't, right? And I just... To me, the stress of this kind of season is unique, right? And just because guys don't, they're the typical mentality in baseball is like, there's tomorrow, we've got time, you know, over the long haul, things were normalized, and if we're good enough, we'll get there, and if we're not, we're not. But over 60 games is not enough time to normalize, right? You can get all kinds of wacky sample size randomness. And because of that, you know, guys are going to be pushing themselves a little bit more than they normally do. And maybe there's a little bit more exertion. Maybe it's somebody who typically would need a day off or say, you know what, I can't go today. He might push himself to go on a certain day. And maybe that's that creates another element of risk. I just think that there are a lot of factors that are atypical that are going to be in play over and above the overriding pandemic that's just another layer on top of everything. And you know, I think that could lead us to see some things that are just completely abnormal, both on the field in terms of results, but also in terms of, you know, health and injuries.
And Shai, the arm that really intrigues me here is Simeon Woods Richardson, because we know what his reputation was in the Mets organization. We know that when that deal was made, there was a lot of focus, even though Anthony Kay was, I guess, rated higher. He was certainly closer to being major league ready. A lot of people have been intrigued by Simeon Woods Richardson's arm. And I know you've already said, Richard asked, you've already said you would doubt that there's a scenario where he would get a lot of use. But I'm wondering, with that arm, and given the fact that we know teams are going to be using their bullpen a fair amount, at least initially, if he throws as hard as everybody says he throws, he would be an intriguing option, would he not? In, you know, even in the middle of a game, just to come in for an inning or so to get somebody out.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he totally would. But, you know, let's have an old school baseball conversation. And, you know, like, let's look at service time, right? Like, if you're going to, you know, throw this guy into the mix and start the clock on him, you know, there'd have to be a good reason. So, you know, maybe if you're in contention and he could be the difference between, you know, making it to the playoffs and not making the playoffs or something along those lines, and you really need an arm that you can address it on the trade market, you know, maybe at that point you're having a conversation if you think he's going to be that much better than the other, you know, 30-some-odd options that you're going to have at your disposal. But, again, you know, to start that service time clock for, you know, what could be 10, 12 innings maybe, you know, they better be 10 or 12 meaningful innings because, you know, you're both, you know, really aggressively fast-tracking the player development curve and also starting the clock very, very early.
Shai, there's talk out of Detroit that Spencer Torkelson, easy for me to say, not only obviously is there a spot for him on the sort of overall roster, but he has a real chance to make the big club in this in this sort of 60-game run. I understand what you just said about service time, and I think logic would state that if the Jays end up signing Austin Martin, they're not gonna push it. But we've had a lot of people on the station, Shai, who have said that he's not going to need a lot of time in the minors, and that he's essentially already a major league hitter. These are pretty respected people that we've had on 590. You see any scenario as remote as possible that this guy could be, that they just immediately start the clock with this guy this year?
You know, I think that's a different situation, right? You look at that roster, you know, he's going to be better than a lot of what you have on that roster already, right? So I think that you can certainly make that case and a justifiable case from the Tigers perspective. And then the other thing too is that, you know, you're signing him, and if he's not going to get any sort of meaningful development, right, then you're really not doing much for him. You know, he's a guy who you want to play. The clock's going to be ticking on him right off the bat. And there's not much point in sort of for him leaving him idle. I can certainly see that. I can certainly see the Tigers being able to justify that to themselves. And, you know, I think just based on where they are as a roster, I mean, it's not a great roster. It's still, you know, their talent is still in the minor leagues percolating on its way up. It's not at the big league level yet. You know, he's not taking at-bats away from a better player. And if that's where he's going to do his development this year, I think you're better off potentially giving him those at-bats than, you know, just having him work out at the club's alternative training site all summer.
This just moved while you guys were talking as well. There are two more players have reportedly opted out of the season, Joe Ross and Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals, both, again, reportedly opting out of the season. Shai, any suggestion that there's any, and I understand it's hard to know, there's 58 guys here, but any suggestion there might be anybody in the Blue Jays who's considering opting out?
I mean, I haven't heard that yet. I think on Friday, Mark Shapiro said he hadn't heard, he didn't think that was going to be the case, but I mean, I still think there's time. And look, I think for a lot of guys, if you're a younger player, I think it's easier for you to kind of swallow the risks. You know, you probably don't have a family at home and things of that nature. But, you know, if for the older, more experienced guys, and, you know, certainly Ryan Zimmerman throughout the shutdown has been talking about, you know, maybe taking a pass on this season and whether he'd actually, want to put himself at risk and put his family at risk. You know, you can understand why guys in that situation are making that decision, right? I mean, it's, you know, they've made their money. This season is tenuous. You know, the pandemic is out of control in significant parts of the United States. You know, there are a lot of reasons to say, hey, I'm going to sit this one out. And, you know, if you're on the back end of your career, it's a lot easier to say that. You know, the Jays don't really have that many players in that situation. They have more players on the front end who have all the incentives to come out to play. So as things stand right now, I don't know of any Jays players who are considering it. But, you know, it's always possible. And, you know, at some point, guys can make the decision to say, you know what, I need to take care of my family first.